You would look in your Bibles to the book of Philippians to chapter 2. The book of Philippians, and in chapter 2. We never know when we preach who we are preaching to. By that I mean we never know among the listeners who is really saved and who is not. We just don't know. We speak this morning on the matter of salvation. Is a message that is directed mostly at unbelievers. This message, our program, goes out to many different places. I pray that it'll reach many unbelievers in other places. If there's unbelievers here, it'll reach them. Reading just one verse of Scripture, Philippians 2 and in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This verse of Scripture has been used by many who hold to the false doctrine of salvation by works, and they try to use this verse to substantiate their belief. On the other hand, it's used by many who believe in the doctrine of salvation by grace to substantiate their belief. This morning, I'm not dealing with either one of those. I want us to focus our attention on the words, the latter part of verse 12, your own salvation. Your own salvation. The doctrine of salvation is the one doctrine that just dominates the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. There is the constant and consistent theme of the Scripture, salvation, deliverance, and redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person of Christ is set forth in the Word of God from the seed of the woman in Genesis all the way to the line of the tribe of Judah in Revelation. You find the matter of salvation and a redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of salvation. And again, very personal in verse 12, your own salvation. The fact of the matter is, you either have your own salvation or you do not. No one else's salvation will help you anyway at all. You must have your own salvation. And it should be a question that everyone should be very settled upon. Do I personally have my own salvation? And again, these words in verse 12, and I'm taking them out of the verse, your own salvation, just seem to stand out and tell us that salvation is something that is very personal. It's very personal. It's something that we hear a lot. We hear a lot about salvation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to bring salvation. But all of that is really useless and meaningless unto an individual until they consider their own salvation. It's not sufficient that we just know the doctrine of salvation. It's not sufficient that we know that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's not sufficient to know that everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. For you can believe all of those things and still die and go to hell without your own salvation. There have been countless millions, and certainly how many none of us really know, that have already been saved from their sins and are now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But their salvation, I'll say again, profits you nothing unless you have your own salvation. Your own salvation is the only thing that will deliver you from the terrors and the horrors of hell. Your own salvation. Many seem to have the idea that somehow if their family in which they were brought up, if they are saved, then that individual is automatically saved. Some hold the idea that children are automatically saved if they have Christian parents, but that is simply not so. The salvation of other family members cannot help you any way at all. Believers in a church, and maybe they're all saved, that cannot help you at all. There is no salvation by proxy. No one can be saved for you. You must be saved yourself. And again, it is your own salvation. I'm just not interested in a universal, general atonement. I just don't have any interest in that at all. What interests me is particular, individual, personal salvation and redemption. That's what interests me. Look with me to the book of Galatians, if you would. To Galatians and in chapter 2. Now I want to read one verse of Scripture, and as I read it, I want you to notice the personal pronouns. Notice how personal the Apostle Paul took these things. And it's Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. And he begins by saying, I, very personal, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul knew something about his own personal salvation. Your own salvation. Over the years, I've heard on several occasions that there are some who hold to the idea that our life here upon this earth is sort of a state of probation. That we're here as a proving time to see which way we decide or choose to go. Do we choose to go to heaven or do we choose to go to hell? And some really hold that idea. But this doctrine, along with all other different forms of salvation by works, is a heresy and a lie of the worst sort. Every unbeliever has already been weighed and the balances and found wanting. This is not a state of probation that we are in. We're born into this world dead in trespasses and sin, and by nature every individual is condemned already because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. If you would be turning to the book of Psalm, to the 7th Psalm, every unbeliever, no matter who they are, has already been judged, they've been convicted, and been sentenced to death. Everyone. Sin has a death penalty. In Psalm 7, notice if you would, verse 11 and verse 12. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he, meaning the wicked, if he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. That's a dangerous place to be in. God is angry with the wicked every day. Now keep that thought in mind if you would. And let's go to the book of John and then chapter 3. John and then chapter 3. Certainly the words in the third chapter of John are familiar with all of us. In John 3 and in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We read, God is angry with the wicked every day. Here we read in verse 18 that unbelievers are already condemned. The judge has already passed sentence. They're already condemned. In verse 36 of the third chapter of John, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's in the present now. That's as they live here upon this earth. Consider the state of the unbeliever. This is all of those who do not have their own salvation. Every day of their life, God is angry with them. Every day of their life, according to verse 18 here, they are living in a state of condemnation. And then again in verse 36, the wrath of God is abiding on them. Hell hereafter is not the only thing that the sinner, the unbeliever, has to fear. The anger of God, the wrath of God abiding upon them every minute of their life. You'll notice in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. How is the condemnation lifted? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the condemnation is lifted. You remember in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. How? Well, just as verse 18 states, he that believeth on him is not condemned. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go back to the book of Numbers to Numbers in chapter 32. Numbers and in chapter 32 and reading verse 23. You might just note the last words of verse 23. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now I'm speaking about your own salvation, and to speak about your own salvation, first we must speak about your own sin, for without your own sin, you have no need of your own salvation. Notice these words in Numbers 32, verse 23. Notice the word your and you in the last part of that verse. Be sure your sin will find you out. Notice the sin is yours personally. The guilt is yours personally. And the condemnation is yours personally. Our text speaks of your own salvation. Those who die in their sins, their eternity in hell will be theirs personally. If you, as an individual, do not repent and believe the gospel, you will personally have an eternity in hell. You know, others may share in your sins, and you may share in the sins of others. People do have partners and cohorts in their sinful activity, but none can save you other than the Lord Jesus Christ. None can share your guilt with you. No matter how closely you are associated with them in sin. This matter of sin and the matter of salvation is very personal. It's one thing to speak of sin in a general sense and to speak of salvation in a general sense. But in order for it to be real, we have to think of it as our sin, our guilt, our condemnation. And then it's our salvation. Look in the book of Galatians, if you would. In the book of Galatians and in chapter 6, a very concise, simple statement in verse 5 of Galatians 6. Every man shall bear his own burden. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. I remember an old saying I heard growing up, and it is basically the same thing that is stated here. But I remember growing up, I'd hear the statement, every pot must sit on its own bottom. There's a lot of truth in that. It's personal responsibility. Personal guilt, personal sin, and there will be personal consequences. And if there's salvation, it will be personal salvation. Without your own salvation, you personally remain guilty of your sins. And you will suffer your own condemnation eternally. I cannot imagine eternal damnation. When I think of the eternity of the unbeliever, it's not just that my mind focuses upon a lake of fire. It's not that. It's just being eternally condemned by God. What a terrible state that is. But the Bible is very, very clear on this matter, that it's all personal. It must be your own salvation. Each individual unbeliever must believe and repent themselves, and nobody can do it for you. It does not matter how many people are concerned about your salvation, how many have an interest in your eternity. They can do nothing. They can do nothing. Every individual must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Those words in Philippians 2 and in verse 12, your own salvation. That ought to just ring in the ears of people. You know, when you consider the matter of death, physical death, when you reach the appointed time of your death, you are going to die. There's just no doubt about that. You're going to die. Nobody's going to take your place in that. And neither you nor anyone else will be able to stop it. When the appointed time comes, you will die. Note what is stated in the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes and in chapter 8, Ecclesiastes and in chapter 8, reading verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. When it comes to the time of death, there's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Remember James said, the body without the Spirit is dead? Neither hath he power in the day of death. Your appointed time to die. It does not matter how many family members are with you and how much they would love to keep you with them. It does not matter how many preachers are standing there praying. It does not matter how many doctors and nurses are in attendance. You're going to die. You're going to die. But what then? What then? I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews and in chapter 9. In the book of Hebrews and in chapter 9, and I read verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. When that time comes and you do die, what then? What then? The scripture says, after this, the judgment. No one will take an individual's place here. The unbeliever will stand before God. And while many others may be there, I'm sure it will be to them as if they're the only ones there. That's just what my belief concerning that. That you're going to have to stand before God. But what then? What then? If you have your own salvation, you will enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what will happen. But without your own salvation, you will enter into everlasting destruction. That's the importance of your own salvation. The words of our text are important, your own salvation. There is nothing any more important to any individual than their own salvation. I know we're all concerned of our children and grandchildren and those that we love, but nothing should concern us as the matter of our own salvation. I'm going to 2 Corinthians. I've read this on many different occasions. Lord willing, I'll read it on many more. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and in verse 5, the first two words show how personal this is. Examine yourself. We don't have any hesitation, reservation in examining other people. We don't have any problem doing that. Sometimes it's very difficult to examine your own self. Whether ye be in the faith. Notice these words. Prove your own self. That's personal. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And we know Paul is writing this to the church of God at Corinth. If Paul, by inspiration, did write this to one of the Lord's churches, it ought to be preached to the Lord's churches today. I said at the beginning, when we preach, we never know who we're preaching to. Believers or unbelievers. But the Bible says, examine yourself. And if an individual does examine themselves and they realize they are without personal salvation, the Bible is full of good news for that individual. I mean, the Bible, as I said, from Genesis to Revelation, has nothing but good news for that individual that realizes they are a sinner. And the good news is stated very clearly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people just like you who realize they are sinners. That's why he came. The promise of the Word of God is as real today as it was when it was first spoken and written. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that removes the condemnation. You're immediately justified with God. As the Scripture says, you shall be saved. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One Savior, one way of salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Jesus Christ came into this world and suffered and died, paid the sin debt. How thankful we are for the doctrine of salvation by grace.